You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Tanner McKee from Micah Parsons, straight up. Who says no? Who says no? Because you don't ship him out of here for anything less than a first round pick now or a star player. The Duke can ball. What a performance McKee had yesterday in the Eagles' first preseason game of the year. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams from Eagles Wire of USA Today. Be sure to give me a follow on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. I apologize for a little later episode today. Training at work is still going nuts, but you were crazy if you thought I wasn't going to record one after what we saw yesterday. Got a busy weekend doing this. I'm at training camp tomorrow morning, so obviously we'll report everything that's going on there, what the fallout is after the performances that we saw in yesterday's preseason game, specifically from the cornerback. So I'll be sure to report those findings back to you guys as well. If you're new to the show, thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. I believe I just got a new review, so thank you to the guy who did that. They all do help with the exposure of the podcast, bring the new show to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans. So thank you guys, as always, for taking care of that for me. Joe Burrow played the entire first quarter, but despite the hot start, the Eagles got the victory in the first preseason game of the year, 34-27. The Eagles were actually pretty heavy underdogs from a betting perspective coming into this game, probably because Joe Burrow did play the entire first quarter. But we have storylines, we have takeaways. I have 5 things that we learned, plus some honorable mentions. So maybe not 5 exact, but a lot of storylines and things that we have learned in this game. And we're going to start with, of course, QB2 in Philadelphia, the guy who probably should have been starting 2 years ago when Mariota was here, certainly last year when Kenny Pickett was here, but now he is the certified QB2. And he reminded everyone yesterday why he is in that position and reminded of EA Sports that he should not be a 61. That's a fun running joke. When I heard 61, I thought it was a joke. He's at least a 70 for his accuracy alone. But Tanner McKee, what a game he had yesterday. Displayed poise, displayed accuracy, stuff that we have seen before in the game. He's done it in 2 straight preseasons. We saw it in glimpses when he had to fill in the regular season last year, really in blowout duty. But man, boy, did he look good last night. 20 of 25 passing, 252 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing, 1, 1 tush push. Take that, Matt LaFleur. Packers crying, weep. Tanner McKee, you don't need the starting offensive line. You don't need Jalen Hurts. The tush push just cannot be stopped. I know the Packers were crying about that. So Tanner McKee gets in the end zone as well. Finished with a pass rating of 135.3. So now the running conversation becomes how many teams can this dude realistically start for? Because a lot of teams come to mind when you think about the teams and the QB situations and who could Tanner McKee go to, and he would pretty much, if it's not a camp battle, he would be the starter from the rip. You think about the Browns, who have probably the most hilarious QB room in the league right now, between Shador, who is starting tonight, excited to watch that, Kenny Pickett, I think Joe Flacco is there, and of course the Deshaun Watson situation. He's not really on the roster, not playing this year, but he's still in Cleveland. So he could certainly start for the Browns, for the Jets as well, who are dealing with the Justin Fields thing. The Colts, we're watching Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones battle it out. That's like the blind leading the blind over there. The Saints, who are undoubtedly tanking for Garrett Nussmeier next year, because Doug Nussmeier is already there. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that's the plan this year. Just punt the season, get our guy next year. The Giants, Tanner McKee could definitely start for the Giants. and the Minnesota Vikings, is Tanner McKee better than J.J. McCarthy? I think it's certainly worth the conversation. I think when you put, if you put Tanner McKee in that Vikings offense with Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson and T.J. Hockenson, I think he would look pretty good. And that's just the teams off the top of my head. I don't know about all the other teams that certainly could probably have camp battles, but man, Howie Roseman, I remember when they initially made this draft pick for Tanner McKee, and I didn't understand it. I was like, why are we drafting statue quarterbacks? Why are we drafting traditional pocket passers? Tanner McKee probably gets drafted higher in the league 10 to 12 years ago, but the league is getting away from these type of guys. Howie knew something, and I look stupid because I wanted a guy who fit more stylistically with what Jalen Hurts kind of does in the offense. I guess that's why DTR might make the roster because he can do more of what Hurts can do. But Tanner McKee, man, that man is just stands tall in the pocket, delivers throws, is unwavered, never scared of the moment, and he had some pretty, pretty passes yesterday. Most notably to Darius Cooper, who we will talk about shortly. Darius Cooper down that right sideline, the 20-yarder. Oh, my goodness. That was a thing of beauty, just leading his man into the end zone. That is textbook NFL quarterback right there. Some team is going to pay him a lot of money one day, and he's under contract for two more years. But after that, some team is going to give him a handsome contract to potentially start for their team down the road. If a team comes calling for a second-round pick, say, hey, we'll give you a second for Tanner. I don't even think Howie does it. A first, you probably have to think about it. Just remember, the Eagles got a first-round pick for Sam Bradford once upon a time. So you could definitely swindle a first-round pick for Tanner McKee. You could dangle him in front of a few teams. If Hurts misses any time this season, I mean, we seen it last year. I think Tanner McKee could certainly, with the starting offense, he could win you some games. And I think that's why he is in the position that he is now. And a lot of people are excited about Tanner McKee, and Tanner McKee reminded a lot of guys that he should not be a 61 in Madden. So fun things from Tanner McKee, talk of the town. A lot of teams, I'm sure, are calling this morning saying, hey, what would it take? What would it take? And Howie's probably not entertaining those, but I'm sure those phones have been ringing off the hook this morning. So fun stuff there. We just talked about Darius Cooper. A few receivers stepped up for the Eagles in the preseason matchup because we know beyond A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson, who got the start last night, not really much proven depth behind them. So you start to wonder who is going to step up in a situation where one of Smitty or A.J. ain't hurt. We've seen it already throughout the summer. Smitty missed a few practices. A.J. Brown has missed the last few practices. You start to wonder if there's a situation like this in the season where one of those guys is missing, who is going to step up? And the Eagles had three guys last night really step up. But before we do that, just want a quick shout out to Elijah Cooks, who has been lighting it up this summer. You guys know I've been talking about it for a couple weeks now, and he was carted off the field yesterday. We don't know the extent of the injury, but just hate to see a guy who was coming on strong and really had a chance to make the roster get injured and be in that situation. So just prayers up for him. That's a tough situation to go through. But another name that has been turning it on this summer, Darius Cooper, who we just talked about, the team's leading receiver last night, 6 catches, 82 yards, including the 20-yard one from Tanner McKee. That's undrafted guy. I mean, he's here for OTAs, and he's been sticking around, and he's really been making plays in summer. I thought that the first pass he caught, all I saw was the one on the jersey. And I was like, is AJ out there? Because some of the mannerisms were similar to AJ. And then I saw it was 41, and I was like, oh, that is not a... That is not A.J. Brown, but holy hell. Some of the things he were doing were A.J. Brown-esque. I think I saw a quote earlier where Darius Cooper said he studies A.J. Brown and really looked up to him growing up. And I saw an interview today when he was talking about his, like, welcome to the NFL moment was when he was in the huddle in OTAs and he was running with the ones and Jalen Hurts was calling the play. And Darius Cooper looked over and said, damn, that's really Jalen Hurts. And he's such a baby face. He's so young. And it makes me think, like, damn, these athletes really come in here and put through this type of skill. And they showcase it on the field for a chance to make an NFL roster. And now I'm getting attached. I feel myself getting attached to this guy to the point where if he doesn't make the roster, I'm going to be emotionally devastated. So I'm trying not to get too attached to these guys because we've all seen guys show out in the past in preseason and not make the roster. So, but Darius Cooper, I mean, he was the best receiver on the field, not named Jahan Dotson last night. Dotson, very impressive. In the few snaps that he played, he had 2 catches, 27 yards, picked up right where he left off with Tanner McKee in that Giants game last year. Another name that really turned it on last night, a name that I've not been dragging this summer, but a name that I have said that needs to show something or his roster spot could be in jeopardy. Johnny Wilson. Not only is this the best he looked this summer, this might have been the best he's looked since he's been drafted. Johnny Wilson, 3 incredible catches. 2 of them he really elevated for. Moss, the first guy, went up and used his big body, used his hands to secure it. And then the third one, really a maximum effort to secure that catch. And I didn't know Johnny Wilson really had it in, to be honest. I think he really secured his roster spot with that performance, with the performance he showed last night. Really finally used his body to frame, showed good hands, something that I didn't know he was able to do. So that was interesting to see. 3 catches, 73 yards, averaged 24.3 yards per catch. And if you can big body your guys and become a reliable, like, big threat, especially in the red zone for Jalen Hurts, then you will have a role within the offense. And it was good to see Johnny Wilson do that. I think now he has a roster spot. So when you look at it and you look at A.J. Brown, Devontae, Jahan Dotson, Johnny Wilson, you probably have one more spot that the Eagles will carry on the 53-man roster, not counting the practice squad. And Nia Smith also made a case yesterday. Really good catch on the 6-yard pass from Tanner McKee, a catch that he wasn't able to make in practice earlier in the week, and he really worked on it with Jalen Hurts, and he executed it to perfection in the game. So that was good to see. Also had a 40-plus yard punt return. I think that Anai Smith's most ideal route to the roster was via special teams, was in the return game, and we didn't know who would really return punts, if it's going to be Avery Williams, it's probably not going to be Cooper, if it's going to be Anai Smith or Taylor Morin, or one of those guys. Anaya saw some juice yesterday, and if he can really lock down the returner spot, I think that will bode well for his chances to make the roster. Now, Terrace Marshall didn't play last night. Obviously, I just mentioned Elijah Cooks got hurt. So when it comes down, if you have those top four guys, including Johnny Wilson, and you're only going to carry one more receiver, then you start to ask, who are you going to cut? Are you going to cut Anaya Smith? Are you going to cut Darius Cooper? Are you going to cut Terrace Marshall? Going to be interesting to see what these guys do in preseason down the stretch. But at least the Eagles have options. It would suck if nobody stepped up and you're just like, man, we are really in trouble if we don't have one of these top three guys. But I really like what I saw from Cooper, Johnny Wilson, as well as Anaya Smith last night. Let's talk about a low light. The cornerback room. Story of the summer. Adoree Jackson, Kelee Ringo, and now Jakorian Bennett enters the mix. And Jakorian Bennett might have gained ground in the race without even playing. Sitting by the water cooler and just looking at these two like, damn, I might not have to try to win this job. It was a demoralizing performance that we saw from both of those guys yesterday, Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson. But let me preface this with the fact that it is Ja'Marr Chase, arguably the top wide receiver in the league. It is Joe Burrow, probably will be in the running for MVP this year. So you don't want to pile on too much. But you look at the receivers that the Eagles are going to play at the beginning of the year, and you realize that the job is not going to get much easier for these cornerbacks. You don't worry about Quinyon. He's going to lock down this side of the field. It looks like he might travel. But you look at the schedule, and you look at the first 4 weeks, and it's the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens. It's the Chiefs, Xavier Worthy. It's the Rams. You got Davante Adams and Puka Nacua. It's the Buccaneers, who have Ibuka and Godwin and Mike Evans. It's not going to get any easier. And if Kelee Ringo is showing signs of struggles, can you count on him to lock down any of those guys? Kelee Ringo in coverage yesterday against the Bengals. 4 targets, 4 catches allowed, 79 receiving yards on him. Gave up a touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase. Got caught up. Just a bad angle in general. Chase down. Looked like Chase was maybe running 70% speed. And just wasn't a good look. Adoree Jackson didn't do much better. 5 targets. 4 catches allowed. The only incompletion was a drop, so it could have been 5. Gave up 45 yards. Not a good sign for where the cornerback room is. Not a good sign for players not named Quinyon Mitchell. Jakorian Bennett, probably will see him in practice tomorrow. I hope I get a good look at him tomorrow morning, because I think the sooner that he can show us something, the better. And that cornerback 2 job is really really up for grabs now with the performance. We were hoping that Kelee could show you something. We were hoping that Adoree Jackson. I think we know what we have in Adoree Jackson at this point. I see a lot of people after the Jakorian Bennett trade say that Bennett is like the Isaiah Rodgers of this year's roster. I think Adoree Jackson serves that role a little better. He's the veteran that really shouldn't be starting, should just be filling in when players come out. I don't think the Eagles wanted to be in a position where they had to rely on him as a starter. Hopefully Jakorian Bennett can kind of seize that role as he gets acclimated to the defense and starts practicing with the team. But it was certainly not a good day for the cornerbacks.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
All right, we got some more positives from this game. The defensive tackle rotation looks like it's going to be just fine after moving on from Thomas Booker. Like we said, Booker was a productive player for the Eagles, but the team felt good enough about their depth to move on from him. And I think the performances of Ty Robinson and Gabe Hall yesterday really vindicated that decision. Now, mind you, also, I have to correct myself. I think last week when I was talking about Gabe Hall, I said he was from Georgia at some point. Yeah, that was wrong. He's from Baylor. I must have had Georgia on the mind, or I was looking at something else before recording, but he's from Baylor. So I had to fact check myself on that one. But Gabe Hall constantly pushed in the backfield. He made way for the Ty Robinson sack. I think that Gabe Hall has really shown strides in recent weeks, and Vic Fangio acknowledged that, and that's why the team is okay with trading away Thomas Booker. Ty Robinson had his first career NFL sack in the second quarter as well. So when you look at it in its totality, it's Jalen Carter, it's Jordan Davis, it's Moro Ujima, Ty Robinson, Gabe Hall. Pretty good top five right there if Robinson and Gabe Hall keep growing on this trajectory that they seem to be developing in. So I think that's a pretty stout five there. They've realized Thomas Booker was an expendable piece. Let's get another corner in here. And boy, do they need corners. We just talked about it. So I think that was good showings from Robinson. Good for Gabe Hall. He was consistently generating pressure. And that's what you need to see from guys like that in the preseason. Tyler Steen, first of all, I'm shocked he even started. I think Dotson and Tyler Steen were the only starters in that game yesterday. So Steen starting was a pretty shock to me, but one series was enough. He opened up that hole for Will Shipley. Will Shipley had that 38-yard run, and that's all Sirianni had to see. And he was like, yep, it's your job. You're done for the preseason. That's it. So Tyler Steen, every rep, 10 practices into the summer, started in a preseason, had a nice little seal block that freed up Shipley, and that is the end of that. So unless he gets hurt, cross our fingers, knock on wood, Tyler Steen will be the starting right guard on week one. And his teammates have been raving about him, saying he's been amazing in camp, and the focus that he's had and all this is commendable. So Tyler Steen, after losing his job to Mekhi Becton last year, really seems like he is on track to be a force along that offensive line. So that is good to see from Tyler Steen. I think that's five storylines already, but an honorable mention I think that could be really that could be focused on is Kevin Petullo, because a lot of us were wondering, like, what's the offense going to look like without Kellen Moore moving on? I think a lot of us assumed that it wouldn't deviate too much from what we're used to, because Petullo has been around Sirianni for so long. But I liked what I saw from him. There's minimal mistakes, minimal penalties. There was good balance. Eagles threw the ball 38 times. They ran it 33 times. I really liked the intermediate game from Kevin Petullo. There wasn't a ton of deep shots, really wasn't a lot of screens. I really liked what he dialed up from like an 8 to 20-yard, you know, little area. How do you say it? The little 8 to 20-yard, like, median range that he was getting passes done. And McKee excels at that stuff, and Petullo keyed in on that. And I think that was good from Kevin Petullo. The Eagles had the ball for nearly 33 minutes, so worked in time of possession there as well. Shipley, Dylan Powell all contributed as far as running the ball goes. Will Shipley, 48 yards. Shonderrick Powell, who had a really nifty touchdown as well, 32 yards. A.J. Dillon, 5 carries, 27 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. Good stuff there. Keelan Robinson, 24 yards. So good stuff. Good stuff from Kevin Petullo. I like what I saw, and I think that he is going to be just fine running this offense. I think that's all the notes I had. Kyle McCord, not good. 1 for 5, 8 yards. DTR looks like he is in the lead for QB3. Kyle McCord, practice squad, did not look good. He had that pick six called back, but it was ugly. It was ugly. I don't know what McCord was looking at there. So not good from Colin McCord. But I think that about wraps up all the notes I have here. I will be at camp, like I mentioned, tomorrow morning, so I will report my observations there on the pod as well as in writing. Let's see what's going on in that cornerback room. Let's see if Ja'Quarian Bennett gets on the field. Good stuff there. Oh, I did not talk about Jahad Campbell. How can I forget that? I think he played 15 snaps yesterday, had that dropped interception. I know he is he's going to be thinking about that one for a while. Had that penalty, illegal hands to the face, I think it was, so he has to dial back the aggression. That's been the theme of practice. But good stuff from Jahad Campbell. I liked his energy. He looked good out there as well. Appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe on all platforms, Apple Pods, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Follow me on all social media platforms at the Philly Pod, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever it's called. I will catch you guys tomorrow. I will record after my observations and then be back with you guys next week as well. Until the next one, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pod.